Loving Christ in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for this day that you have made. We get to rejoice. We choose to rejoice. Help us to remember to rejoice. And Lord, when things are looking all kind of ways, help us remember we can rejoice and be glad. And for this, we say thank you. Bless every heart here this morning. Their needs, you know what they are, because you know what each one of our cares, our concerns are, because you told them to cast them upon you. And so, Lord, right now, we are just calling on a casting all of these things that may bind us and hinder us from experiencing your presence. We cast them right now on you because you care for us. And we just pray in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in whom we give all glory, honor, dominion, and power. Amen. And if you would like to follow me in scripture this morning, I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 24 through 26. 1 Corinthians 12, 24 through 26. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Now God composed the body. I see pages still turning. I apologize. I get carried away sometimes. And if you like, you can also look on the screen as well. Now God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Somebody say the same care for one another. And so if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. And another scripture today that we're using, I want to say my focus scripture, it comes from the Old Testament, Joel 2:28. Joel, not Job, Joel. And it came to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Someone say all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. This is the word of the Lord for us, God's people. Everybody say amen. And who we are. I love being reminded often, but especially when I come here to this place to remember stating who we are, just in case we forget in between times. So please repeat after me. This is who we are. We are spiritual beings who are one with Christ, having a human experience. That's right. We are spiritual beings who are one with Christ, having a human experience. How many times have we heard people say we're only human? I keep saying that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. That links us directly to Christ, for Christ said, I am Son of God, spiritual, Son of man, human. Amen. So I thought for today, I got a little excited last week with the directions, and I ended up talking about diversity, equity, and unity, or inclusion in the body. And what does that look like for us? So I'm kind of connecting that thought with what the actual series is being called. And the actual series is called Dreams. Expecting greatness in unity. Dreams, expecting greatness in unity. And when I was reflecting on this, I heard very clearly the disciples say, "Lord, teach us how to pray." Now, I think that that is wonderful, and I thought it was really supreme of the Holy Spirit to say, if the disciples asked God, asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, what would it look like if we asked the Lord to teach us how to dream? Somebody said, "Lord, teach me how to dream." And this morning when I woke up, and it's an old song that my dad used to sing. Y'all know how I love the old songs from the back in the day, and I'm not going to sing the song, but I'm going to quote the words because I'm just so excited about it. And what better way to wake up? Our soul re-enters our body, and we're getting ready to step out. And what was on my mind this morning? I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Then he says, I'm walking and talking, and I'm singing and praying, and I'm singing and praising with my mind. Stayed on Jesus. Boy, isn't that a wonderful way to wake up? Oh, wouldn't it be awesome if we could just keep it like that all throughout the day? He says, I'll keep you in perfect peace if you keep your stayed on me. So we just thank God for waking up with our mind stayed on Jesus, not just this morning, excuse me, but every morning. So we're talking about dreams, and I'm looking at dreams basically from two perspectives, the biblical spiritual aspect as well as other ways. So dreams are God's way of communicating his will, his plan, and his message to us, to his people. And dreams in the Bible often represent the present or future events. And whoever the person is dreaming absolutely cannot control it. How many remember their dreams? Do any of you remember your dreams? I remember mine too sometimes. And sometimes you hope that dream doesn't come true. And sometimes you are hoping like a happy dreamer that it does. But at the end of the day, we can't control. So we're told we cannot control our dreams. Mm-mm-mm. Dreams in the Bible require careful testing and interpretation to prove that they are from God and they're not from false prophets or, what did I say last week, our imaginations just running away with us. So in other words, try the spirit by the spirit. Try the dream by the dream. Don't let your dreams cause you fear, because sometimes they can. Dreams in the Bible can also show God's love and protection or his reprimand or warning. So this is what dreams look like in scripture or in the Bible for us today. Umberto Eco says that a dream is a scripture, and many scriptures our dreams. I don't like nothing but, because I don't like nothing but when we're referring to God. So many scriptures are dreams. Dreams in the scripture. The word dream is mentioned in 13 books And it occurs between 61 and 87 times in King James. So y'all know we have all kinds of different versions of the Bible, and so that number will vary. And the most it's been discussed is in Genesis, then Daniel, and then Matthew. The word dream occurs the most times in the book of Genesis, King James, 33 times, followed by 27 in Daniel. Both words occur only 8 times in the New Testament. I really like it. I really like specific dreams in Scripture. And knowing that dreams appear in Scripture, my favorite one referring to dreams is the one that we talked about in Joel. For I will pour out in that day is this day, that God is going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Remember, we are flesh, right? Not trees, not germs, not animals, but we are created. We are the visible image of our invisible God. So specific dreams in Scripture, I'm going to go through a few of them. And as I go through these, there are quite a few, but you can go later on in the week to houseofjudah.org and look at the slides and get the specific scriptures that I'm referencing here, okay? Dreams. There are several dreams in the Old Testament, and they're about people, including King Abimelech in Genesis 20:23, and I'm just going to call him out. Jacob. Y'all remember Jacob wrestling with the angels? That's also a dream. Laban, that is Jacob's uncle. And Joseph, y'all remember the dream of Joseph, the dude with the coat of many colors? And then whenever he had the dream in prison. So that's another one. Then you have the Pharaoh's dream, the Midianites' dream. That's whenever Gideon was doing his fleece, trying to make sure he was hearing from God, not going excitedly out of his mind, to put it nicely. That's in Job. King Solomon's dream is in 1 Kings. There's King Nebuchadnezzar, and it doesn't mention King Belshazzar or Belshazzar. Both of those are in Daniel. And there are dreams in the New Testament where Joseph is told, do not put away Mary. The angel comes in, he has that dream. Then he's warned when to leave Judea and when to come back, and what time and what way that they should go. That's in Matthew 2:12. And then Pilate's wife had the dream, warning him to stay clear of Jesus and make the right decision. So we see that dreams are given to both women and men. And y'all, these are just some of them. As I said, if you would like to get the specifics, you can see the slides on the church website. And for us today, our presence in Scripture, and it will come to pass that I will pour out my flesh. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. I think it's interesting that he says, your sons and daughters. Isn't that interesting? Because, I mean, we all, as we learned last week, we all are children of the Most High God. But it's like he invites us into this prophecy in Joel, and he says, your sons and your daughters, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. I can see visions, Richard Smallwood. So I think that is a powerful word for us, what to expect. I get the old man dreaming dreams. Because, y'all, think about it. There was a time when we didn't have electricity, We did not have transportation. People walked, ma'am. All kinds of different things that we did not have, but some older person had to dream that. Thomas Edison and the brother that worked with him that came up with the filament for the lights. Somebody did air conditioning, praise God. I still use my fan. Okay. What else did somebody have to dream about that I'm deeply appreciative of? Indoor plumbing. Praise him, right? Somebody came up with the outhouse first, but blessed be we got them in the house today. So what do these dreams, or perhaps that was a vision from a young man who saw it. Ask somebody, are we dreaming as older men and women? Are we seeing visions as young men and older men, older women and younger women? Elder. I like using the word elder. I don't like old. So if we're going to talk about dreams, expecting greatness in unity, what does that look like for us? What kind of dreams are we dreaming, y'all? What kind of dreams are we dreaming? What kind of dreams are we living? Of course, we cannot forget Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream. I have a dream. And you know what? The beauty is we're getting to live out his dream. Amen. We're living that dream. Could it come up some? All dreams can be improved. Yes. But at the end of the day, we're living that dream. The great American dream. What is that? Have y'all ever heard? Y'all remember hearing the great American dream? A house. Wait. A husband, a wife, a family, two. I have not figured what 2.5 children are. I guess that's the one that's on the way, Jesus. Two children and the white picket fence. The white picket fence. The white picket fence. Yeah, somebody says the American dream. Remember, y'all, we are in the world, not of the world. So the question bears asking, what kind of dream are you dreaming? Unspoken dreams. I'll share one of my unspoken dreams with you all. My unspoken dream was going to Duke. When I was getting ready to graduate from high school, I didn't tell a soul. I didn't even want to tell myself, Lawrence. I didn't want to say nothing to nobody. I didn't want anybody to know because, you know, sometimes we have to be careful who we share our dreams with. You know, I've even come to the conclusion I have to be careful about sharing my dreams with myself. Have y'all ever talked yourself out of something that the Holy Spirit is giving you? Come on. Ooh, please, close your eyes. Feel it in your heart. Say, please, Jesus, help me to not talk myself out of the dreams you give me. That to me is a prayer. And it's a prayer of great expectation. That's what dreams are, basically. Dreams are like prayers. And that unspoken dream of mine, I almost forgot, was going to Duke. I didn't say a word to anybody. Actually, I forgot about it. And then I just remembered, you know, I kind of like Duke basketball because they used to beat everybody back in the day. Now things have changed. And it was a dream that I would go. And I talked myself out of it. I just made sure I forgot about it. But I'm glad that God remembers, okay? God does. I figured I was working with ABC Sports, and I was doing football, ACC football. And every year I would go to Duke, and I couldn't wait. because I get to walk around on campus and see the classes. I was always sneaking around trying to see stuff. And one day I said, you know what, Lord? I'll probably never go here, so I'm going to try to get a job. And I did. I prayed and I asked God to let me get a job. Got a job at Duke. But before I got the job, y'all know what happened. God made a way for me to be a Duke student in 2000. And that was a hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. For real, God answered prayer, dream. It was a prayer, because sometimes it's quiet. Don't give up on your dreams, because we really don't know how God is going to come through. I was looking for a job. Jesus said, you can have a job, but I remember what you prayed, even though you're trying to act like you didn't. I really didn't. I'm so grateful that those unspoken dreams, he can still give them to us. And we've got unified dreams and expectancy. That's why I like this. We're using this unified dreams as a scripture to help us encourage one another to dream through the body. For as the body is one and has many members, but all members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Watch this. For as the dream is one, and has many members, but all the members, i.e. all of our individual dreams, are one, also is Christ. For by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. We're all baptized into one dream. Whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, whether American or Palestinian, I'm going to keep my word, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. Somebody say one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member. The dream is not one dream, but many. What if we look at our dreams like we look at the body of Christ? Another scripture from Corinthians 12. God composed the body, having great honor to that part which lacks it. I don't really think that much about eyelashes. I don't always think about fingernails. It's part of the body. What part of your body do you just like totally not think of? I don't think about my lungs, but I thank God for breathing. Pinky toe till I bump it. God has composed the body. That little thing in the back of your throat, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. You know, you don't really think about the little thing in the back of your throat until you get choked. Have you ever tried to grab it? Oh, see, I told y'all how the imagination works. So come back, Katie. I'm just thinking, you know, what does this look like in Scripture? In the body, for that part which lacks honor, there should be no schism in the body. For that person who maybe doesn't have a dream, there should be no schism. That member, that dreamer, should have the same care for one another. In other words, I'm gonna do my Oprah voice. You have a dream, you have a dream, you have a dream, you have a dream. Everybody has a dream. You get to dream. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Can you imagine? If one member doesn't dream, does that mean all members do not dream as well? If one dream, one member is honored, all the members rejoice. Like we were saying about diversity last week, we are all one. I never thought about our dreams connecting. But think about it. Think about how it does. I see several Clemson University student and paraphernalia outfits. Somebody came up with Clemson, and we are still participating in it. Many of us would not be graduates or soon to be graduates. Employees, fans, how's that for all members rejoicing together? Y'all, I didn't think about it to just then and there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Prayer is a form of dreams and expectation. Dreams, expecting greatness and unity. Now we're going to get some of the words from last week to tie it together. There's equity in dreaming. And whenever we dream, we do have to include folk. And it does bring about unity. So equity is the quality of being fair and impartial. My dream is as important as the next person's dream. Inclusion, the practice or policy of providing equal access to opportunity, i.e. dreams, and the ability to dream to those who may not seem or feel like they're able to dream. That's how we can include others in dreaming. Unity, the state of being unified or joined as a whole, i.e. harmony, accord, collaboration, agreement, consensus. Can we all support one another to at least dream? Dream expecting greatness. Doesn't matter how. Can we just say, you know what? You got a dream. I have a dream. We all have a dream. And whatever your dream is important, because the same way God gave one person this dream, another person this dream, your dream is important because dreams come from God. Divine expectancy. Expectancy is a state of thinking or hoping that something, especially something pleasant, will happen, i.e. it's done according to your faith. Expectancy. Belief. That is why Psalmist wrote, I wait expectantly, trusting God to help, for he has promised. What did he promise? We would dream. We would have visions. What else? Expectation in the biblical sense refers to the beliefs and hopes that we hold concerning specific situations and outcomes. What are your expectations? Ooh. We have to make sure we're not negative Nellies, maudlin Margarets. You know, sometimes we can only see the bad rather than the good. So what are we expecting? Because it involves envisioning an anticipated result. Somebody say anticipation. That aligns with our desires or understanding of how things should unfold. How should things be unfolding? Please repeat after me, with ease, under grace, in perfect ways. That's how we are beginning to expect and hoping to expect and learning to expect greatness from our dreams. Psalm 62 and 5 says, my soul waits only on God, for my expectation is from him. Isn't that something? The expectancy comes from God. So do we really think God is really expecting us not to succeed if that's our thought? Why would God give us the desires of our heart, the expectancy, the thought, and not give? Remember how the English language works, give. God gives us the desires of our heart, means he fulfills them. But not only that, he gives us the thought. I never thought about it. But here's why we can say it's so true, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you an expected end. Is that not beautiful, y'all? To know that God has something. Brother said every time I turn around, blessings on blessings. What about every time we turn around, we get dreams and visions? What will it look like for us? What would it look like for us to recognize my dream is as important as yours? And we are going to do our dreaming going forward with great expectancy, great hope. So as we stand to our feet, remember, dream expecting greatness. And we don't have to do it alone. We do it in unity. And guess what, y'all? It tells us, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Be careful of who you share your dreams with. Because sometimes the voices are not always coming from within our head. They are coming from somewhere out here. Who's directing your dream? What does the divine dream look like for us? And how do we continue to have great expectations? Dreams are our prayers. Isn't that wonderful to know? I didn't know that until I was preparing for this. Our dreams are the same as prayers. Lord, teach us how to dream. The same Lord Jesus Christ who taught the disciples how to pray. Maybe we need some new eyes. Maybe we need those words. How do we dream? And as we stand to our feet, if this word has moved you and touched you and have made you feel inspired to dream, just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And if you've been moved by the word and you would like to become a part of this family, I call us the tribe of the house of Judah. If you would like to become a part of the tribe of the house of Judah, please come down and be a part of us, or just stand where you are. And if this word has moved you, maybe you need it to be strengthened. Maybe you hadn't really thought about your dream, but in whatever way this word has moved you in terms of your dreams, please pray with me. Please lift your hands upward as a means of surrender, as a means of being open for what God does have for us, as a way of releasing of what we thought he didn't. But with our hands open, we give and we receive in this moment that which our Father has for us. Lord God, our Father, precious King Jesus, powerful Holy Spirit, we thank you. Thank you for opening our hearts, our minds, our eyes to what you have for us. Give us the courage to dream. Give us the courage to believe. Give us the courage to expect like we've never expected before. In 2024, let us dream more. Let us expect more. Let us unify more. Let us remember that we are one with you, and each of us are important, as well as our dreams, our aspirations, our inspirations, our hopes. For in truth, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus's love and righteousness. We dare not trust the sweetest frame, but we wholly, completely, totally trust on your name. For you are that rock, our rock. And help us to stand and be anchored in your truth, in your word, in your promises, in the dreams that you give us. And for this we say thank you. We thank you for healing, for completion, for wholeness, for joy, but for most of all, being able to be in your presence with you. We ask you to forgive us all of those things we haven't even considered that may be contrary to your truth for us. We ask for the forgiveness, and we thank you that you do forgive us. And so we ask that you reconcile us back to you, into the place of truth, of what you have for us. And praise God, it is the ability to dream and have visions and to see. Give us the courage to let you remove the scales of doubt, fear, and anxiety from our eyes. For it is in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit that we pray, that we hope, we believe, and we expect. Amen.